Hey, what's going on, Clipper people? It is me, William, the Opinion Updike.
And I am the most positive I've been. Technically, this is the offseason, Chuck Mockler.
Why so positive?
Because we got a game preview. It's the first meaningful Clippers basketball in what feels like forever. We are Locked On Clippers. We come at you 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. Make us your first listen. Kill some windshield time.
Yeah.
We come out around 7 a.m. So we got your Clips news every morning. And today we got a pretty fun episode.
That's right. As Charles said, we are going to be previewing that first game. We're taking on the Warriors. We're going to talk about what we need to do well as what could go wrong, give you a couple of key matchups to take a look at. And then it's Thirsty Thursday. Every single Thursday, Charles and I talk about who and what we're thirsty for, what we want to see more of with the season on the horizon. We're going to talk about what we're going to be looking for early from this team. Can't wait to talk about that. And then in Shavings, which is where we kind of just talk about other stuff, wrap everything else up around the league, Lewis Keene wrote a great piece about how the Clippers almost moved to Anaheim. It really came down to the wire, folks, so I can't wait to discuss that. So all of that and more coming up right about now. But first, I got to let you know that this episode of Locked On Clippers is brought to you by McDonald's, proudly serving communities since 1965. McDonald's has always been more than just a place to get tasty, affordable food. It's an unofficial community center. A big thank you to our friends at McDonald's for always being there. I'm loving it.
You are Locked On Clippers, your daily Los Angeles Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome to the Clippers versus Warriors preview. Clippers basketball is back. We are so overjoyed here at Locked On Clippers. We hope you're having a fantastic week in the lead up to this opener for the Clippers. Ty Lue, just some injury news. Ty Lue said on Tuesday
that... Ty Lue's injured?
Yeah, Ty Lue's hurt. Ty Lue said on Tuesday that Marcus Morris is available, so he should be good to go. Not sure what the starting situation is going to be, but I guess we'll find out. No surge yet, which makes sense. As far as the Warriors against the team across the hall on Tuesday night, they started Steph Curry, Poole, Wiggins, Green, and Looney. And Wiggins and Green were on a minutes restriction. So who knows what's going to happen with that. But let's get right into it. Will, what do we need to do well to get this first dub?
So I think it's going to be essential working in like new guys and stuff to communicate and have a clear plan on the floor. It's a blessing and a curse to kind of have so many multi-tool type of guys.
Yes.
But when there's like a lack of clarity on the floor, it leads to indecision and like passivity.
Yeah.
And that leaves points. Like it just leaves points that could be ours.
those are our points.
Those are our points. So I'm really looking to see Paul George kind of piloting the first unit, even when the ball isn't in his hands. And it begs the question, is there any other starter who you'd want to be the vocal leader of this team?
Ooh, starter specifically? Man.
Is there any other Clipper?
I don't think so. I think you got to go Paul George. He's the best guy. We all saw what he did last season. I think Marcus Morris is going to be up there with pretty vocal guy.
Yeah.
For sure. Maybe Reggie, if things are going well. But I think I just want to see what PG looks like.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that like the continuity of this team is at this point allowing players to play to each other's strengths. I'd like to see a return to form for like the longer tenured guys.
Sure.
And
which is you're technically the longest tenured Clipper.
That's true. I know at some point we're going to see a reunite of Reggie, Mann, Paul, and Batum.
Yeah.
And I just hope you're ready for it.
It's going to be a good time. I want the Clippers to forget about the growing pains.
Okay, yeah.
There's going to be some hiccups integrating Bledsoe into the lineup, and that's okay.
Just fine.
Totally fine. That offensively, we really need the ball to be moving well. That Bledsoe spacing, I'm hoping it looks decent. I'm hoping Paul George does Paul George things. From what we saw in the preseason, the Clippers should be able to get the Warriors defenders moving around a bit. Just based on ball movement. It's the first game. I hope nerves aren't crazy. You know, it's like, and for fans too, like, let's not get too freaked out if things don't look completely well-oiled yet.
No, I think that's important. I think that's important to stress because despite running it back,
we have a new starting point guard effectively.
New starting point guard and a pretty large absence, which changes a lot about, you know, how a team would normally function, obviously.
For sure.
So what could go wrong in this one?
Kind of going back to an issue last season, defensive sets maybe looking a little too wonky while we're working things out, and we just kind of lose control of Steph Curry.
Yes, definitely.
You know, nothing really too deep to go into. Your Steph's an elite guy. Our team defense is integrating a brand new starter at the point of attack. I think we're going to see a bunch of switches onto Zoo. So Zoo being able to kind of guide whoever they switch onto him into the help is going to be very key. Something to look out for in terms of Zoo's just kind of start to the season as well. And the Warriors were first in assists last season. So they're going to be moving the ball too. I'm going to get hands in the passing lane. Let's just be communicating out there. You know, like I'm mostly just worried about the defensive side of the ball.
I think that's fair.
I want the transition defense to look solid. There is a size
Let's not ask
thing.
For too much, buddy. All right.
There is a size thing we're going to talk about in key matchups, but what else could maybe go wrong?
Man, I just don't want to see passive Luke out there.
Couldn't agree more.
Or just guys kind of shying away from the moment in general. I can live with missed shots. I can work through blown defensive rotations. I don't even really necessarily care about the outcome of this game. I want to see guys knowing their roles and playing well.
Good process.
Yes.
Good process. It's very good. And in terms of anything else, I know we only have a couple things in this segment, but it's the first game of the season. Not entirely. We don't really know what can go wrong with this team yet, other than the stuff that maybe wasn't as good last season, which was containing the point of attack with a really good point guard.
Yeah.
And transition defense, which every single person in the organization talked about during the preseason.
Yeah. And a regression of the means from three.
Sure. But hey, first game. Can't have a regression of the mean in the first game, can you?
That's fair. There's no mean.
Key matchups. Bledsoe versus Curry.
I like this.
We got a nice little debut for Eric Bledsoe to show Clippers fans what he can bring to the defensive side of the floor. Last episode, I talked about how Bledsoe's impact will be as good as Pat Bev's, kind of no question. We're going to see what that impact looks like against the best point guard he'll probably go up against all season.
One of them, for
sure. One of them. So, you know, offensively, Bled is a little more kind of bullish than Curry. So I want to know what that looks like on that end. But defensively, like, I'm so excited to see what Bledsoe looks like. He was so active in the preseason. Him in the pick and roll defense is going to be really interesting how the communication's going. You know, the pick and roll offense of Zoo and Bled looks pretty good already. What's the pick and roll defense going to look like? That's more important for the Clippers to get figured out than I think the offensive side of the ball with these two.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm kind of interested in Terrence versus Otto Porter Jr. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they'll spend some time on one another.
Sure.
Unless they end up like running Iggy or earlier off the bench. Either way,
he is like their six or seven.
Yeah, like I'm not sure how that's gonna go. We're like into the third quarter, and I think Otto Porter Jr. has only played like 5 minutes. So maybe this won't be as much of a key matchup. But regardless, this is more about like
more about Terrence.
For me, this is more about Terrence, like just coming out of the gate strong. Obviously, I'm not going to freak out if, you know, it's not his best performance.
Sure.
But I want him to look assertive and look kind of how we've seen him in the preseason, which is he's just seen the game slow down for him a little bit.
For sure.
He's getting to that level where,
He
has a higher understanding of things and a greater confidence in himself. So,
for sure.
Regardless of like what the box score says, and regardless of who he's defending against, I would really like to see Terrence come out strong.
Absolutely. Wiggins versus Paul George.
Oh, man.
Wiggins, for all his shortcomings,
has grown as a defender with the Warriors.
Dude, and he like weirdly defends Kawhi really well every time they play each other.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they're just going to task him with Paul George. Really hope Paul George comes out aggressive, and I mean the real kind of aggressive, not the kind where it's very obvious that he's looking for contact, and the ref's like, dude, you looked at me in the eyes as you jumped into that guy. Like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Defensively, you know, I just want Paul George to look like he's got his legs under him, like he's moving well. Defense takes a little longer than offense, but I'm fully expecting Paul George to, he's able to take over this game. And one of the things I have on this note is the Warriors are small.
Yeah,
so they're a small team.
This is really interesting because the Clippers got smaller,
sure.
In the offseason with the loss of Kawhi, going to a more traditional, like two guard kind of backcourt. We're smaller than we were last year.
Mm-hmm.
We still have some size at the forward positions and in the front court, but it's not quite the same look as it was last year.
Right. I agree with that. I still think we're bigger than they are.
Oh, than the Warriors. No, than the Warriors for sure. I'm just saying like overall, the team is smaller than it was last year.
So I think the Clippers can live in the paint if they need to in this one. I think Zoo could have a big game in this one. Maybe a nice little double-double debut for this season. And then, dude, the depth of the Warriors right now. like Iggy and Bielitsa are their 6 and 7.
Yeah.
That's not good. They have some shooters on the bench that we kind of broke it down. You know, like if Poole gets hot, he can maybe shoot. That like there's the idea of Otto Porter Jr. shooting. It's there's some guys who can maybe catch fire, but they're not a very deep team right now.
I would be inclined to agree with that. They do have some vets, which does help. And you know, they do play in a system that is like it's very much forgiving to like maybe not having the highest tier of like players on the second unit. You know what I mean? It works as a system fairly well.
Prediction time. Clippers in their opener. What do you think they got? I'll tell you right now, CBS Sports has the line it Warriors are favored or the Clippers are favored by 7.
I'm liking that. I'm liking Clippers. I think I might take the under on 7. I think it might be like a cool 6.
Okay, that's fair. I think the Clippers got this one. I think we're going to see, it's going to be stressful. We saw in the preseason, the Clippers already doing their cardiac Clippers thing.
Oh yeah.
It was a buzzer beater.
And never went away.
Never went away. I think we're going to have a solid game. I think we're going to see some of that nice motion offense we saw in the preseason carry over. I think the Clippers get this dub. I cannot wait for this game. Let us know what you think over at Locked On Clips before the game starts. Coming up, we're going to be talking Thursday, what we want to see more of from this first week and just, you know, a little more in general. But first, hey, got to give another shout out to McDonald's.
Hey.
McDonald's, you know, they brought you this episode of Locked On Clippers, which is fantastic. It's a place where friends and family can come to reconnect. You may have heard this before. A place where classmates can meet up for a study group knowing that they'll have dependable Wi-Fi and endless supplies of French fries and McFlurries. Win or lose, it's a place where teammates, competitors, the home team, or the away team can come to recharge, get all fueled up on those McNuggets. It's the place you always look forward to stopping at on a long road trip to rest your legs and refuel. A couple McDonald's between here and Las Vegas, I've been to before. Pretty solid. So head to your local McDonald's to refuel and reconnect. Did someone say Locked On Clippers watch party at a McDonald's? Not sure about that. Either way, McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Okay, so we're back with Thirsty Thursday. I just slurped down a wet McFlurry. I let it melt.
Anyways,
we're talking who and what we want to see more of. And I guess with the season upon us, mm-hmm. we're looking at what do we want to see this first week from the Clips?
Man. Good process. You can kind of cross it off. And it's like when you talk about biggest concerns, health, right? Like good process, that's what we want to see. I mean, I want to see us win. We got it. We need 3. I want to see us win 3 games.
Is it insane? Like, I have to see us win the 3 home games.
I think that's fair.
I'm fine if we're 3-1 at the end of October.
Yeah, end of October is rapidly approaching. We're at Warriors. We play the Grizzlies. We play the Blazers. We play the Cavs. Then we're at Blazers. Then the Thunder. Dude, I mean,
let's just talk to the end of the week. Because that was the question.
All right, so there's 5 games.
That was the question.
There's Warriors, Grizzlies, Blazers, Cavs, Blazers. We can go 4-1. We could go 5-0. I'm way too excited. No, 3 wins. Let's get
3 wins at home, I think for sure.
3 wins at home, I'm perfectly fine with that.
What record would you start to freak out about? At the end of the week.
Two and three. I'd be like, well, shit. This kind of got away from us. We just need these home wins.
I was going to say, yeah. So like of the 3 home games, if we went 1-2, are the panic bells ringing?
The panic bells aren't going off yet at 1-2, but I would just mostly be frustrated.
You smell smoke though.
You smell smoke and you're like, ooh, we needed a couple of these. It is a long season, but if you haven't brushed up on the Clippers schedule, very front loaded with home games. Yes. We're not even, it's not even that much hyperbole to say that. It's very true. When are you ringing the early season alarm bells in this scenario?
If we went 0-3, I mean, that would be
0-3 at home would not be ideal. I agree with that take.
That would be very worrisome to me. I'd like to think that I'm not going to freak out if we're 1-2, but it's all going to depend on what it looks like.
At home.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Like after the first 3 games, if you're freaked out if we're 1-2, larger issues.
No, I just mean of our home game. Right. I'm talking just home games.
Yeah, home games. Yeah, we got to win these at home. We have to take care of these at home. I am thirsty for Luke Kennard. We talked about this a little bit in the first segment, to take his preseason momentum into NorCal and get into a heat check battle versus Steph Curry.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think it's too great. Like, it's not insane to think that Luke goes on a heater. We know he can.
Yeah.
He's Luke Kennard.
I heard Steph Curry actually modeled a lot of his game after Ohio basketball legend.
Yes, I mean,
and that legend was Luke Kennard.
The number one high school scorer in the history of Ohio basketball, Luke Kennard. It's not crazy that Luke goes on a heater while Steph is out there, and it becomes kind of a meme-level battle.
That would be very funny.
It'd be fantastic. Mean,
it could honestly be the same thing, though, with Reggie and,
sure,
and Steph.
Yeah.
Like, just jacking up.
Luke Kennard, though, it felt like his role was even more defined in the preseason than at any other time in the regular season the year before.
Yeah.
He was hungry for the ball. He was looking for the ball. He was making himself available, making some scrappy plays. So I want to see that momentum continue. It's there, you know? Like, we did a podcast with Lucas Hall on the 213 Hoops, kind of a beat roundup, which you should absolutely listen to. But before we started potting, he talked about how he did a podcast with some Pistons guys, and they were talking about Luke Kennard. And Lucas Hahn was kind of lamenting the fact that Luke Kennard is a little passive sometimes. Which he is. And the Pistons guys were like, oh yeah, he was like that with the Pistons a little bit with Derrick Rose and Blake Griffin. And it's one of those things where you're like, well, I hope that stopped now. So we've seen the momentum. I'm expecting this. I'm thirsty for it, though. I'm excited.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he also does, like, the organization does seem to be really behind him, which you like to see when a player is struggling,
100%.
Right?
100%. Yeah, for sure.
It's pretty necessary.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm thirsty for, and honestly, I'm kind of getting worked up just thinking about it, but getting the band back together, man.
Just seeing the guys out there.
Honestly, just getting the band. Like, seeing Reggie Mann, PG, Batum, and Mook, or Serge back together is going to be special when we see that lineup
for sure.
The floor. I mean, I guess I'm just kind of thirsty overall to sort of take in context, like, what these guys were able to do last year.
Right.
And we can't base our expectations off of that year for this season.
In terms of how the season finishes or in terms of level of play each guy has?
In terms of how the season finishes.
Fair. I think expecting a Western Conference Finals berth, you know, maybe that's very, it's rose-colored glasses.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, you know, whether Kawhi comes back or not,
He was shooting around in practice.
Okay. All right. You know, the important thing is, like, what success is for this team has changed a little bit this year.
Yeah.
And I think that that's, like, actually, like, a really kind of interesting and beautiful thing. So
yeah,
we get to see all these guys grow. And honestly, yeah, like I said, I'm just thirsty to get the band back together, man.
Are you
going to
weep
wait
at the home opener when all
probably
the guys? I'm excited to see what this newest version of the Clippers offense looks like.
Yeah.
The Clippers had, and I've got a couple reasons here, the Clippers had the longest break between preseason games and the regular season of any team this year. So Ty has been able to really dig in and get these guys coached at practice. Like, he talked about this. He's like, I just wish there was more practices in the preseason as opposed to games. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
you know,
definitely
what guys are making the team. You know, like,
well, not the Clippers. I mean, there was a battle.
Very true. There was a third center watch. So I just hope they hit the ground running last season. I'm trying not to get too hyped based on that, kind of like you said about the context of this season. Either way, I just hopefully see a bunch of motion in the Clippers offense this year. We also didn't talk about Isaiah Hartenstein in the game preview. He might see a fair amount of minutes versus the Warriors, and I'm very excited for whatever these look like.
Yeah.
He's the backup center.
No, 100%. That's a great call. We did kind of unfairly leave him out. He's just newer to the team, so it's hard to set expectations
sure
for him too early.
Well, I have expectations based on his per 36, and I'll tell you what, they're Jokic-like.
Better than Jokic. I couldn't agree with you more about, like, this new version of the offense. It's going to look different than what it was last year, but I'm, like, aesthetically actually really excited about it.
The Whirlpool offense is what we nicknamed it in the preseason.
Yeah.
So much motion.
Yeah. I'm really curious to see, like, how this is going to work and how it's going to evolve. And, like, specifically, just, like, the generation of shots. I mean, we know that they can generate open threes, but, like, those shots in the mid-range are very interesting to me because, in my mind at least, like, there's a direct correlation to how you play that same type of basketball when you reinsert Kawhi into the lineup.
Yeah,
you know what
true
I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, we have been effective at this with a player who's not Kawhi. Now imagine it with Kawhi.
Now thinking about Kawhi Leonard. He's been shooting some hoops before practices. Coming up, we're talking a fantastic article by Lewis Keene about the Clippers almost moving to Anaheim, which thankfully that didn't happen. But first, Will, talk to me about calm. How can I get more calm?
All right. Look, you know, we talk about physical fitness a lot. We're always talking physical fitness, hitting the weights, pumping the iron. Oh, yeah. But there's another side of the game that's just as important. What? I'm talking about mental fitness.
Oh.
Calm, the number one app for sleep and meditation, has teamed up with LeBron James to help you train your mind. LeBron and Calm know that your mind is like any other muscle in your body. And Calm can help you train your brain so that you sleep better, have less stress, and perform at your best. For LeBron James, sleep is an important part of his mental fitness routine. It is for everybody. Shout out. Get your sleeps.
You know what I call him? I call him LeCalm.
He says, getting good sleep and finding time to rest is one of the most valuable things I can do for my body and mind. Couldn't agree more. And if you head to calm.com/lockedonNBA, you'll get 40% off a Calm Premium membership. With Calm, you have access to nature scenes LeBron loves, like rain or leaves, and so much more, like sleep stories or meditations. For a limited time, our listeners can join LeBron in using Calm with a 40% discount to an annual membership at calm.com/lockedonNBA. Unlock content to help you focus, ease stress, and sleep better. Get started at calm.com/lockedonNBA. That's calm.com/lockedonNBA. And now that we're calm, how can I beat this sweat?
Well, you might still be sweating now that you're calm, now that you've listened to Leaves, LeBron's favorite playlist. There's few things that are is kind of weird to talk about as excessive sweating. We know that this isn't, you know, life or death, but there's not much, you know, worse in the moment, right? It can feel like a big deal. Nobody likes to pit out during an important speech, interview, or first date. Leaves forbid. I'd much rather not worry about it. And that's why people use SweatBlock antiperspirant wipes. SweatBlock is stronger and more effective than most clinical antiperspirants. You simply apply it at night before bedtime, go to bed, dream your sweatless dreams. The next morning, you'll wake up, wash, and go about your day without worrying about sweat. Guaranteed. No more pitting out. No more picking shirts based on which will hide your sweat better. If you or someone you love is dealing with this, you have to check out SweatBlock. Get it today for 20% off at sweatblock.com with promo code LOCKEDON or at Amazon and CVS.
All right, so we're back with shavings.
Hell yeah.
Listening to the relaxing sounds of rain and leaves.
Leaves.
Sweat-free.
Love it. Sweat-free. Lewis Keene, a fantastic journalist, wrote a great piece on Defector about how the Clippers almost moved to Anaheim.
Yeah, so I had no idea how close this came.
Wildly close. We're not going to spoil the whole interview or the whole article. You should go read it at Defector. It's on his Twitter as well, at Lewis Keene. I call him Louis sometimes. I hope he appreciates that. It's a term of endearment. Happened in 96. We all remember that fateful year.
Ripe.
It was so close that David Stern called to congratulate the executives of the Clippers' new home arena on the deal. Sterling had signed the papers to do the deal, but they just didn't even make it to the guy's office.
That seems...
Well, so here's what happened. They signed the deal, and then at Sterling's request, because the biggest issue was getting Donald Sterling to say yes, right?
Oh, of course.
Like, that's the biggest issue. Anaheim had built a $130 million arena. The Clippers had actually played games in Anaheim due to the Rodney King riots and a big-ass earthquake.
Yeah, Ralph actually talked about that when we had him on the podcast.
Yes, they played a handful of games just kind of in Anaheim anyway because it was like a fun time, and at the time, the city really wanted an NBA team. Sterling basically would have given up the team, kind of renting the team to Anaheim's people, so he wouldn't have been involved in anything basketball operations-wise.
Oh, that would have been...
for the Clippers' history,
interesting.
Pretty different. But everyone signed the papers. Then at Sterling's request, one of the main guys took the papers home so they could all sleep on it. That's what they were going to do. The plan was for the main guy to bring the papers back to the pond, which is what the stadium was called at the time. And then the following morning, you know, they'll sign it, they'll do the thing. But literally on this guy's way from the deal to the pond, Donald Sterling calls his cell phone, which was rare in 96. And tells him that he's out, and it was just defeated.
Dead.
It was just done. Donald Sterling, noted unhinged human being. Pretty crazy. Like, I had no idea that this story existed. Thank you so much for writing this, Lewis.
Yeah, and the article goes into even more depth. It's definitely worth checking out on Defector.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a really interesting piece of history.
It would have sucked if the Clippers moved to Anaheim.
No offense to the Anaheim folks out there.
Sure.
It's far away from me.
It's far away. Like, it'd be a pain. Also, just another illustration of Donald Sterling being truly one of the most shitty people.
Oh yeah,
they invented rent control.
Yeah, we all signed it. Yeah, we all signed the papers.
But let's sleep on it, dude. I'm definitely in. It's like your friend who's like, "No, I'm definitely down with the Airbnb this week, dude." And then you hit him up, be like, "Hey, the deposit. Here we go." It's like we're just paying it all now. It's like $220, and they're like, "Oh, I actually can't make it this week." And you're like, "We've been in a group chat.
Yeah,
we all signed off on this."
Yeah, I muted the group chat, so that's my bad.
Well, that's fair. and then to kind of close this one out, we know we're hyped up. Clippers basketball is back, everybody. It's fantastic. Let's take a deep breath and enjoy this season.
Yes.
Let's not. It's going to be a good time. We're playing with house money.
This should be, honestly, this season should be like 18, 19 levels of fun.
100%.
No expectations, just vibes.
There's expectations, but they seem manageable,
no,
right?
There's no expectations.
All right, I have expectations, but they seem manageable. This is going to be such a fun season. We get to see if Terrence Mann can take the leap. We get to see what Luke Kennard can do. Reggie Jackson's kind of reborn into this new Clippers sphere that he's in. Paul George has the reins. I mean, it's everything. It's Ty Lue's second year. How great is this team going to look with Eric Bledsoe? There's so many positive things that you should not let this first game or these first handful of games discourage you in any way. It's easy to do. I've been there. We've all been there. But let's enjoy this. This is going to be such a fun season at Clippers basketball.
I agree. Yeah, definitely.
Whew, I hope that audio doesn't get chopped up and turn into a freezing cold take. listen to this idiot. That about wraps. Anything else in shavings? Anything you want to send them off with?
No. Just enjoy the season.
Good vibes.
No expectations.
Okay. Some of us have, and it's okay to have some expectations.
Zero expectations.
Friday's episode, we're going to be recapping that hopeful victory over the Warriors. A preview of the home opener versus the Grizzlies, which we hope everyone listening to this is at. We will be there, I'm pretty sure.
Probably.
Probably going to Hank's bar afterwards, too.
Oh, yeah.
If anyone wants to come hang, love that bar.
Yeah, if anyone's in the downtown area.
Sure. Maybe if you're at the game, the Clippers game. A love Mary quarantine, which is just such a fun time. We are so happy this season is back.
Yes.
Clippers basketball is fully back. Will, if someone was like, "Oh, I need a first listen in the morning while I'm killing some windshield time," where on earth can I find a Clippers podcast?
So you can find us on iTunes or the podcast app.
Yes.
We're also on Google Podcasts. We're on Spotify. We're on Stitcher. We're on Deezer. We're on Amazon Music. All the usual suspects. If you want to help the show out, you could leave a rating and a review over at iTunes or the podcast app. It does help us out. We mentioned up top, but we do come at you Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. Pacific, and we would love to have your listen.
We absolutely would. We got to give a big shout out to that guy, 4444 AB on iTunes, gave us a 5-star review, said this podcast is great. The two hosts are always positive but balanced. It's also daily, so you don't have to wait long for new content. This is a must for Clippers fans. Hey, that guy, we appreciate you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Usually when you're a that guy, it's not fun. But this guy's a good
that
dude.
Guy.
Who's that guy? You're that guy. But yes, we're coming at you 5 days a week. I have been positive, Chuck Mockler.
And I am William the Opinion Updike. And as always, we appreciate you.